Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
Lars Eller! Trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, what you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is Drop Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Ah, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
You're listening to DPHO and Rothenberg, DNR, the R&R boys.
Dave Rothenberg and Deborah.
Call us what you want, but don't ever call us lazy. We're up with you every weekday morning, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. I want to hear from you, so make sure you give us a call, 1-800-919-3776. I'm not sure about my co-host.
Stevie, you're on the frenzy. I mean, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Man,
all right, and that's at the end of Steve.
I'm Rick DiPietro. He's the big prude, Dave Rothenberg.
You're the only person I know that has erotic baking sessions with your wife.
We have a great show planned for you this morning. 3 hours. It may not be enough time. Our beloved Price is Right guy, Ray Santiago, is back from his much-needed sabbatical. Let's hope he's addressed that anger issue moving forward. Kyrie Irving spoke for the first time last night on his Instagram Live. We're going to bring you all of that. Turned on a Wayne Gretzky tribute last night, and a Rangers hockey game broke out. What do the Giants do with Daniel Jones this weekend, David? NFL Week 6 kicks off tonight with the Buccaneers in Philly. Another example I'm going to play for you today of why I should be an NFL insider. We got Matias Kiwanuka at 7:35. And as always on the Thursday at 6:45, we got an observations and did it happen in Florida. But before I hand off this wonderful show, I got to give the people what they want. Good times! And say good morning to my guy, my bestie, Dave Rothenberg.
Well, thank you very much. Good to be here. Thrilled with that open. Very well done. I thought that wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey was going to get old, but it has not yet. You go around the horn. You welcome Santiago back. There's sound. There's teasing ahead. There's erotic baking discussion. Really, the open had everything that one could possibly look for. So very well done by you on this Thursday.
You know what, too, though? The best part of doing the open, and you know, you're funny. Every time I say, okay, Santi, come down the line with me so we can work this open. I always, to go through the clips, like the sound I'm going to use, always gets me started where I need to be. Like you with the caller. Okay, and there's Steve. We're done with Steve.
It puts you in a good mindset, huh?
Oh, it's like my pregame, like a coach coming in and giving me a pregame speech is what it is. I love it. This is why I love the show. It's 5 a.m. and I'm ready to go.
I know. There's a lot to do. By the way, can you say Matias?
Matias?
Yeah, there you go. Because in the open, it was Matias.
Well, I've heard it both ways. That's the thing. I've heard it both ways.
No, it's Matias.
I prefer Matias.
You might prefer it, but the name, in fact, is you know what? Here's what we'll do.
We're going to call him Kiwi. Why don't we just call him Kiwi?
Here's what we do. When we have him this morning at 7:35, before we start with any of the giant stink conversation, we'll find out if it's, in fact, Matias or Matias.
I'm going to lean on the fact that it's probably Matias. So I'll take the L. I'll hold the L on that one.
So you don't want me to ask him?
No, we can ask him. But I think, I mean, I would prefer just call him, you know, Kiwi, because he's a weekly on the show.
It's fine. But God forbid 2 weeks from today, you do the open again and you're like, and Matias Kiwanuka is going to join us. I'd like the answer.
Yeah, I think we should clarify it.
Yeah,
I don't
disagree. Clarify. We'll clarify. So Santi's back. And I mean, you can, I'm not with him, but I know that ear to ear smiling. Oh, I'm back. He's swinging it right now. He's in just a great way. So, yeah, good for him. At least somebody is.
See what he's wearing to troll you?
I did not, but I'm sure it's the Cowboys thing.
Oh, no, it's a new one. It's a big obnoxious star. It was supposed to be the first thing you saw on the Zoom, but you got on the Zoom at 4:55. So,
okay. Now, first of all,
shots have been fired,
and the first thing you say is, "Well, I don't have to worry. Rick's handling. I don't get on the mic for a while. Rick's handling everything." So.
No. You know what? You're the worst. You really are. I didn't say I don't have to worry about anything. You said, Dave, do you hear me? Are you good to go? I said, I don't have to worry about going right now. I said, Rick's going to handle the Open today, is what I said. It was not a knock on Rick. It was not a knock on you. It was not a knock on anybody.
You can call me what you want. You can say I'm the worst, Dave, but I've never openly wished for any of your travel plans to end in tragedy, okay?
I never wished that either.
That's not what I heard.
No, you know what? Let's ask them right now. Did I wish for his travel plans to end in tragedy? Rick, did I wish
for
that?
Well, I don't know if it was wished. I mean, insinuated, maybe.
Nope.
I mean, I think it's semantics at this point.
It was not. No. You know what? I'm very careful with my words. A wordsmith. A man of words. I did not say, I hope something bad happens. It's not what I said.
RJ, I mean, I don't know about you.
It's not what I said. It's not, RJ, it is not what I said.
If we were turning this over to a jury, they'd be out for a long time. They'd be talking about this.
They might be out for a while. They might have to have lunch and dinner served to them. But in the end, they would return and the foreman would say, not guilty. Now, I was very careful with what I said.
No, it was insinuated, though. I mean, it's to a point where me and RJ got so nervous that we were like, we called Santiago and we were like, hey, maybe you should drive home.
All I said is it would serve him right. That's what I said. Say
yeah,
I was that, wishing
that's,
for
that's
it.
Not terrible. No, not at all.
No, yeah, not at all. You did. Yeah,
right. I somehow would deserve to have the plane fall out of the sky on me.
The way you were acting, I mean, really.
Like, how was I acting? I was enjoying myself.
Any time that there's a tweet that's derogatory to the Giants or positive to your Cowboys, you are slurping on it. You are all over it. It is a sight to see. And I will say this, because there's many times in the past when I've been like a good friend, and your team's at a loss. You're like, man, how you feeling about that? I don't care. But I don't. You know what? I don't even care about this team. I don't want to hear it this year. When your team eventually soils themselves, which will happen, okay? At some point, when Mike McCarthy forgets how many timeouts he has or that the clock is running and he can't see it appropriately, they will fall apart at some point this year. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be sitting there waiting. And when it happens, I don't want to hear, well, you know what? It doesn't bother me. Because it does bother you. Because to act like that when your team beats a bad football team. And never once did I tell you the Giants are going to win, the Giants will keep it close. Never. I think the Giants stink, and I told you that from the jump. So the fact that you act like this after a win over a bad football team is a shame for you.
I am not going to apologize for enjoying my trip, and even though the Cowboys played a bad first half, they completely throttled and won the game. So I'm not apologizing for anything. I thoroughly enjoyed myself.
Yeah, no, I know you did. And I'm going to thoroughly enjoy myself when your Cowboys start losing. I'm going to enjoy myself all
the way. Santi,
don't
let him make you feel bad about it, Santi.
Oh.
I mean, listen. You went down to Dallas. You predicted you almost predicted the score. I mean, you told us exactly how the game would unfold, which we played on Friday.
He didn't know the Giants would not be able to walk out of the stadium, that everyone was going to
hurt. He can't predict a team being ravaged by injuries.
Well,
but it's
why
exactly
not?
What he said.
Seems to know everything else that's going to happen.
No, he said Giants would keep it close early, and then, you know, halfway through the third quarter is when, you know, the Cowboys would step on the gas and separate themselves. And that's exactly what happened.
Do you still have the same TV that you entered the weekend with, Dave?
Me?
Yeah.
Of course. I told you, I'm dead. I don't like losing to the Cowboys.
You're yelling at me just now shows me you're not dead.
Yeah, he doesn't get it, though. It fits his agenda. Then I can't believe you're celebrating a win against the bad team. It's a division rival. It's a heated rival.
If the Cowboys were bad, and I thought the Giants were really good, and the Giants beat the Cowboys, I wouldn't act like this.
You'd be mocking.
That's ridiculous because you've literally sent tweets to me when anything goes wrong with this football team, and you make sure. I want to make sure that you see what's happening.
Anytime from now on, anytime anything happens,
that's going to be completely different from how it was before.
Anytime. But I mean, an injury, an illness, so anything, you name it, you see it, I'm going to be making sure the first thing you see on the Twitter is me coming after you. I'm going to be watching you and watching this team and enjoying their losses. I root for the Giants now, I was anti-Cowboys. Stop it! I was anti-Cowboys before, all right? Really anti-Cowboys before. You've seen nothing.
So you're going to watch everything the team does like a hawk, huh?
Hawk.
You know what that sounds like to me, Dave? Like you're a Cowboy fan.
Please. I mean, Rick, who always takes your side on this, would never say that I'm a Cowboys fan. Ever. Ever.
No, you're definitely not a Cowboys fan. But RJ, I want the sound from Friday because Dave is such a fraud right now. He's actually on the K-Show. We're in a heated battle with the picks. Heated battle. And we fought our way back. We're all tied up. Awesome Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, and so I'm listening because it's my guy. I want to hear what he's talking about. And they pick Carolina against Philly. And what does this guy say? Oh, perfect. That's a great pick. Now I really get to root against Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're so full of it.
No, it wasn't now I really get to root against Philly. It was like, if Carolina covers the number, now at least they get a win, and I'm happy that Philadelphia has lost.
No, you can't wait to root against Philly. It doesn't. My point being is that it doesn't matter if Philly is good or Dallas is good or if the Washington football team is good. If your Giants beat them, you're going to enjoy the win, just like Ray enjoyed the win.
Now, you are slurping on it. He took it way too far. He is gone overboard.
You don't think that when
I'm telling you, I
one
know
of these
me.
Teams,
like, I listen, know me, and I'm
Islanders,
troubled.
Islanders could be the best team in the league, or the Rangers could be the best team in the league, and the other team could be the worst. I'm telling you right now, after a win like that, you go in the locker room. It doesn't matter.
Well, you might act like that. Win. You might act like that, but that's not how I act. All right, that's not me.
It's because all you guys do is lose now. You're not used to it. You can't. I mean, you can't enjoy success.
What have I done that's wrong? What have I done that's wrong?
Nothing. Stop it. Don't let it make you feel bad.
You know what? Look at you defending him. You would defend anybody against me. Anybody.
No, I just want you to be truthful with the audience is what I want. I don't want you to be one of these hacks that lie on the radio. The Giants win against any of these division rivals.
If the Giants would have won that game, I would have been insufferable because nobody thought the Giants could win. If the Giants go out there and win a game that they're supposed to win, a game that they're a touchdown favorite against a bad team, and the Giants are good, you think I'm acting like a fool like this? No.
Yes.
No.
I would expect you to.
No,
you guys
I'm better than that. He should be better than that.
No,
I mean,
shouldn't be.
Troy Aikman knows what he's talking about. Oh, stop it.
Clearly he does.
Now, Troy Aikman is the biggest Cowboys apologist. He was an embarrassment this weekend. Oh, the Cowboys are so great. Look out for big things from the Cowboys. This team better go to the Super Bowl because all I've heard is how great this team is, how they're incredible, how Dak is the second coming, best quarterback in the NFC. Offensive line is incredible. Ezekiel Elliott is just this two-headed monster at running back. Go win. I don't want 4-1. I want 13-3, and I want an appearance in the Super Bowl. And otherwise, I'm coming after you.
At the end of the day, I get 17 opportunities maybe to get to see this team hopefully potentially win a football game. And I'm not going to apologize for enjoying myself, especially for the fact that I went down there for the first time in a decade, and I had a lot of fun.
Good.
But besides the game, I'm not apologizing for
Nobody's
that.
Nobody's standing in your way of having fun. I'm glad you had fun. I like you. You're a friend of mine. My goal is for you to enjoy yourself. And knowing that you went to the game and the Cowboys won, I'm sure that you enjoyed it. I'm sure you did, and good for you. But the way you act and your smug ways and your attitude and your nonstop shots at the Giants, just wait.
But look at how you're acting now. How can I not be smug? When you get this way and you
because
wish horrible things upon
me.
You wish
you've
horrible things upon
you've
me
incited
upon,
the
upon
beast.
My arrival
all right?
home.
All I'm saying is you have incited the beast. So when I do whatever I'm going to do in the future, don't be shocked, don't be surprised, and I'm coming after you. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. That's it.
Santi, pray he comes after you. I mean, let's not pretend like last year when Logan Ryan snapped Dak's ankle in half.
I never said a word about it.
Because you lost.
Santi, I never said a word. I was not obnoxious. I was not mocking. I said nothing.
And lost to Andy Dalton.
First down! Oh, my God.
I mean, end of year last year. What else needs to be said?
I didn't. When the Giants won that game, I didn't say anything to you. Not a word.
You sure about that?
Not a word.
You sure about that?
I'm absolutely sure. 100%. I don't care. You're meaningless to me. Your Cowboys, they've gone to the Super Bowl since you were like 12 years old.
Doesn't sound meaningless. Really
Why
doesn't.
Do you have to say nasty things now? Now you're stepping over the line. I mean, you're the same guy that laughed in Andrew Gundling's face when
and you know what?
Blew out his
I have I not since said that that was a real misstep and a mistake, and I shouldn't have done it. Have I said that?
Yeah, but that's only because they won the Super Bowl. Let's not pretend like all of a sudden you're like this reformed fan that's a good guy.
I'm a great guy.
Your team has been brutal.
Brutal.
So you haven't had the opportunity.
Exactly. So then how in the world, if my team has been this brutal, could this savage animal act like this?
Because you push people like this.
Did I
you
ever say one time, look out, Giants are going to win? Look
no,
out.
But that has nothing never to once. Do with it. That has nothing to do with it.
It has everything. It has
you love
everything
your team.
To do with it.
He loves his team.
That's fine. He
and
can love his team. He should love his team. But yeah, the fact that his number one goal, see, the Giants are in his head. And for some reason, he can't escape the fact that the Giants have won 4 Super Bowls in the last 30 years. He just can't. He can't get away from it. And he won't. And until he grows up and grows a pair, this is how he's going
to
act.
I mean, you're listening to yourself right now. This has nothing to do with it. Yeah, again, how can you expect me not to act arrogant when you act this way? And I was like, oh, he won 4 Super Bowls. Okay, that's great. And you still haven't caught up in the number of Super Bowls if we want to go that route. But that's not what we're talking about.
Listen, I'm
talking about me enjoying myself this weekend, and you're bitter about it. I don't know why this bothers you so much.
You are the Kyrie Irving of Cowboys fans is what you
are. With bitterness.
You are the Kyrie Irving of Cowboys fans.
That's a low blow.
I don't know what the hell is going on.
Bitterness, jealousy, just dripping with it.
Please.
Oh, you can smell it.
I mean, you know what I saw last night? The Giants tried to snap Dak's ankle again. I mean, stop it.
I've got 2 clips online of somebody doing a gator roll.
Stop it.
They did a gator roll, Dave.
Stop it. You've embarrassed yourself for years.
Evan Ingram's talking about people throwing punches on him. He probably dropped those too.
Evan Ingram made some of the great catches. See? Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Santi, listen, Santi, he just got done on Monday talking about how meaningless the catch Ingram made was. So don't let him all of a sudden use
it
that.
It was meaningless. He didn't drop anything in the game. Caught everything thrown his way. Be proud.
He's a special guy who's going out of nowhere to admit, hey, somebody punched me.
That fact that you can beat Mike Glennon and Devontae Booker and Nate Solder at left tackle, I'm surprised you didn't have a celebration.
One could argue Mike Glennon played a better game than Danny Dimes.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Mm-hmm. See? He's crazy. He took drugs down in Dallas. That's what happened. He drugged himself.
Well, I will say at least the Cowboys did take care of business and beat Mike Glennon as opposed to, you know, last year when the Giants couldn't beat Andy Dalton.
All right, you know what? I'm done. All right. I mean, really, why don't you hire him as counsel? The two of you can skip off like you did before the show. Hey, Ray, meet me in this private chat room and let's go over how we're going to do the show. Fine. That's fine. I'm done. Okay? I want to talk Kyrie. I don't know if you saw... we got to get it. There's a comment about the Yankees, which is incredible. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
I do.
Oh, why do you know everything?
Because I know you're going to ask me
every single thing. I want to bring something to the table once you're like, oh my God, I didn't have that. That's incredible.
I'll tell you what you can bring to the table is a delicious steak when I get you the meat thermometer that's not cut.
When? I'm still waiting for my invitation. Raymond, have you received the invitation over to Rick's for the enjoyable evening?
No, but I know it's coming.
Oh, it's not coming.
I can't have you both at the house at the same time with this kind of friction.
Stop it. We'll be fine.
No, I don't think you will be fine.
We will be fine.
No, because you know what I'm going to do, obviously. You know, we'll be sitting at the dinner table, and I'll turn the TV on and just start showing Cowboys-Giants highlights.
See, you would do that.
I would do that.
RJ, have you received your invitation to the dinner party?
No, I've been briefed in some meetings. Yeah, things are happening.
Okay. Well, listen, I look forward to it.
Bi-weekly meetings we have, RJ and I, about dinner plans.
Great. I can't wait for bi-weekly meetings.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
RJ, I got a bunch of people that called me yesterday for some reason, was the day, to say you do a hell of a job with the podcast.
Wow. Thank you
to
all of them.
Just on a random Wednesday, you got many calls, multiple calls, with saying, boy, the podcast is wonderful. RJ does a great job.
Yeah. I don't know why it was yesterday, but I mean, I talked to a couple different people and they mentioned it. Hey, let your producer know that I really appreciate what he does in the podcast.
Wow. RJ's a big part of the show.
Wow,
and RJ would never just go missing in the middle of an important book in football season. So I give you tremendous credit for that as well, RJ.
I appreciate what you did. I don't appreciate the back half of that, which you meant for Ray, which is not nice at all. But I'm troubled by what's developing between you two.
As well you should be. Listen, some people are dedicated to the show. Some people look at this as a livelihood. Don't have side jobs where they're doing Rangers games and they take days off on days they're working their other jobs. But that wouldn't be all of us on the show.
Speaking like a man who didn't disappear for weeks at a time.
Weeks
and
at a time.
Hide nor hair from you.
When I was pushed to you take vacation in summer, Dave. I've been told since I started in this business, you can't take vacation in football. You just can't do it. And you know what? I don't do it. I don't. And I know Rick will defend you any way he possibly can, he has nothing to say with this one.
No, I mean, you can't. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's apples to apples, though.
Oh, God.
Well, no, I don't. I mean, yeah, we can only take time off during the summer. I think that Ray worked it out where he said, hey, listen, you know, I'm going to save a couple extra days because I want to go to this Dallas Cowboys game on top of the fact that he works two other jobs, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's great. Here's what I'll say, and then we'll move
to Kyrie Irving. He wants to fight everybody. I think for the safety of the people around him.
Here's what I'll say, and then we'll get to the Kyrie Irving story, and then we'll get to the Jets and the Giants and all of it, okay? When you dialed in yesterday, were you expecting Ray Santiago to be on the show?
Yes.
Was he on the show?
No.
Okay. Did you have any idea that that was the case?
Mm-mm, no.
Okay. Then I will leave it at that. All right, Your Honor, I rest my case. You are slurping on it. Okay? I rest my case. Let's move on to a topic.
I'm so glad that you clipped that. I was going to ask you to clip that, and I mean, it's like we're on the same wavelength with that. Yeah. Give me that sound one more time, RJ.
Why do you do it in your private chat
room?
You are slurping on it. Really, why don't the two of you guys go into your little private chat room that you have before the show on Thursdays and play great clips that you can only the two of you can hear? You can hold hands and do it. Play the slurping one.
I would love to hold hands with him.
Play when he
it's
messed
just
up
not
this.
For Ray.
Play when he messed up this. I mean, you go in there, you can teach him how to play the Price is Right, all of it. The two of you guys deserve
I'm gonna
each
be
other.
Price is Right guy. I'll say -$2.99.
I mean, my wife, who loves you, Ray, she loves you. She thinks you're great. She turned to me the other day. She goes, how does he have no understanding of how the Price is Right works? And when you explain it to him, it makes no difference at all.
Oh,
motorcycle.
Nice to, it's nice to know someone over there loves me.
Motorcycle. Great. Great. All right. So here's Kyrie Irving, who we have been imploring. Say something. Right? Take the microphone. Say something. So last night, he takes the microphone. He goes on IG Live. He says a lot. You can explain it to me because I don't know what, in fact, he's saying. Let's start with about him choosing what's best for him overall.
Because it's going to continue to revolve around this and that. And, yo, you're going to lose out on money. And you're going to lose out on this. Like, so what? It's not about the money, baby. It's not always about the money. It's about choosing what's best for you. You think I really want to lose money? You think I really want to give up on my dream to go after a championship? You think I really just want to give up my job? You think I really just want to sit at home and not go after the things with my teammates that I've been able to grow with, to learn that it takes sacrifice in this space?
I'll tell you what, I don't think it bothers him all that much, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm sure it bothers him a little bit.
I don't know. You know what? If you have a dream, you would not do this. If your dream was to desperately win a championship, you would not pull this stuff over and over.
Well, he's already won a championship, right? Like he's already done that.
Right.
He's hit one of the biggest shots you'll ever see. So he's done that. James Harden hasn't done that. I mean, Kevin Durant now obviously wants to, you know, win a championship with his own team where he's the face of the franchise and everything else. I mean, that was the big bugaboo with Golden State. You know, he's the best player on the team, but it'll never be his team. It was Steph's team. When we've always questioned whether or not Kyrie truly loves basketball. He clearly has, you know, other priorities, other things that he cares about. And sometimes basketball takes the back seat. I think after listening to that last night, my takeaway is he doesn't believe that anyone should be told that they have to take the vaccination.
Which is fine. And that line of thought, I think, is okay. But now because people are told they have to take the vaccine, he's going to sacrifice potentially his season?
Well, he doesn't want to take the vaccine. He was under the impression that coming into the season that there would be no mandate in New York City and that he would have exemption from the vaccine and he would just have to deal with all the different rules that unvaccinated players would have to deal with. That's what he thought going into this. And then mandate comes down from New York City that he can't play home games. And now he has to make the decision whether or not to get the vaccine or not. And that's what he doesn't agree with, is that people should be told what to put in their body.
So he's really not. And here's the thing, which is interesting. You know, when he went to Duke, he took every single vaccine that needed to be played, to be taken, right? And he took that, and he was good about it. And now, all of a sudden, I don't know, it's because he's a different guy, or financially he's secure, or he doesn't care about basketball the same. Now all of a sudden, vaccine bad. But he doesn't even say he's desperately opposed to the vaccine. Does he say that? Well, he doesn't. It feels like it's more of a I don't like the fact that they're telling me I have to get the vaccine, so now I won't, and now I'm not going to play.
Well, I think it's both. I think it's both. I mean, he didn't know going into the season that he was going to be told that if you don't take the vaccine, you can't play at home. So if it was really truly about, you know, I'm not anti-vaccine, I would get vaccinated, then he probably would have been already vaccinated, right? Before the mandate even came down.
I would think so.
Okay, so clearly he doesn't, I mean, he has trepidation about getting it. And now he wants to take up the fight for, you know, people losing their jobs because they won't get vaccinated.
I don't understand what the fight is.
Well, the fight is that I shouldn't be told what I should put in my body. That's the fight.
I get it. He shouldn't be told what he should put in his body, and because of it, he's not going to get the vaccine. What is the fight? By him saying, I'm not getting the vaccine, does that help everybody that works at a hospital? Does that help people that don't want to get the vaccine, that refuse to get it? I don't understand who this helps.
Well, you heard the other day, right, before he actually spoke last night, is he wants to be the voice of the voiceless. He believes that his platform, and there was over 100,000 people at its peak last night that were watching and were tuned into the IG Live, that he can be the voice for those people. Now, I think he's probably overestimating how much pull he actually has. I don't know him not playing this season, not getting the vaccine, and, you know, doing Instagram Lives, if that's going to change any of these private businesses' mindset on, you know, mandating employees to get the vaccine. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. So I don't really know. I mean, I don't know how him not playing, him not getting the vaccine is going to benefit the people that have lost their jobs. I don't know. I can't answer that question.
Right.
And, I would imagine it probably doesn't. That's why I said yesterday.
Right?
That's why I said yesterday.
He's running on the platform of, I'm going to be the person that kind of advocates for those that can't help themselves here. How? If you could explain it to me, or he could explain it to me, and he was in fact doing that, I would say, you know what, good for him. But
how do you affect change?
How that comes out of this?
Well, right. I mean, that's essentially what you're trying to do. Like, how? Like, you're trying to affect change in some way. Like, taking up a cause, you're trying to affect change. Like, you would obviously, I mean, if this was something that you were passionate about, you would try to find a way to speak with these companies or whatever it ended up being, speaking with, you know, politicians and find a way where, you know, people could work and not be forced to get vaccinated.
Correct.
But I don't know how he achieves that. And I don't know if him not playing helps the cause or he kind of just disappears and people aren't really paying attention because he's not playing.
That's what I would think.
Like, I think he's got a much bigger platform if he decided to play.
How about playing, making the, how much does he make per game?
Oh, he's going to lose $380,000 a game.
Right. So how about playing, making that money, and donating it to a cause of people that are out of work because of this?
Well, that's what I said yesterday, right? Like, listen, he's very charitable. I mean, you can, I'm not going to sit here and list all the things he's done, all the money he's given to certain causes. But, I mean, the guy goes above and beyond. You can't question that.
And I don't.
So, no one was saying, you know, take the money that you're going to make anyway for the, you know, for the road games and donate all of that. My point yesterday was, by not playing, you're now forfeiting $380,000 every home game you don't play. Every home game you play, you're losing that much money. So, rather than just lose that money and let the Brooklyn Nets keep it, who, oh, by the way, are telling you, you have to get vaccinated or you can't play. Like, the Brooklyn Nets are who you're fighting against, right? These companies that are mandating their employees to get vaccinated or they can't work. So why let them keep the money, right? If this isn't a, you know, I don't want to get the vaccine situation, you just want to be the voice for the voiceless, then get the vaccine, play, and use that money for the cause.
That's right.
Don't just let them keep it.
That's right. And whether you agree with the cause or not, at least it's a guy that is putting his money where his mouth is. I don't believe in this. I think it's unfair. So let me do something about it. And maybe I'm missing it. Maybe you could tell me, but it seems like you can't. Maybe someone can tell me at 800-919-3776. Some point this morning, how he or anyone benefits by him not playing basketball right now.
Well, I think he benefits for this reason. I think that after listening to all of that, he doesn't want to get the vaccine. That's the benefit.
Say it.
Well, that's the benefit. He thinks that for whatever reason, and listen, I mean, we all have people in our lives that are skeptical of getting the vaccine, right? Like, it's, I get it. It's your body. It's your choice. And I mean, if Kyrie chooses not to get it, that's fine. And he'll have to deal with the ramifications of that. I think he doesn't want to get it for whatever reason. I think he does want to be the voice for these people that are losing their jobs. And I think at some point he feels like, you know, maybe when there's a new mayor in New York City, whatever it ends up being, that the rule will change and he'll be allowed to play. All right. Without getting the vaccine.
We will see. I mean, this is going to be a story that will not go away anytime soon.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
You saw, and I teased it, and Santi's like, you know, sometimes you kind of overdo the tease. Not in this case. Like, what was said about the Yankees last night by an all-time great in the game of baseball was nothing short of savage.
Oh, yeah. No, it was savage, all right.
Savage. You want to hear what... listen, you can say you like him, you don't, you're turned off by him. You cannot question the greatness of Pete Rose as a player, right?
No. Charlie Hustle,
no. You ready for this?
Of course I'm ready for it, yeah.
Okay. He says... That was the worst bleeping lineup they could have put on the field. That's what he told USA Today's Bob Nightingale. Their 6, 7, 8, and 9 hitters were all out men. They had to have Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton do something. If they didn't, all the pressure was on Gallo. You saw how that worked out. You say, all right, Dave, that's not that bad. Listen to this. How does someone who didn't even play every day strike out 213 times? Ray Charles wouldn't strike out that much. I just can't imagine striking out 213 times without killing myself. That is Pete Rose.
At first glance, you may have thought he was talking about Ray Santiago playing softball, but
he's not.
He was not.
You're talking about your left fielder, Joey Gallo.
Listen, I mean, does he go over the top there at the end? Yeah, he goes over the top there at the end. But, I mean, as far as their lineup was concerned, Gallo, you know, hitting cleanup, you lost LeMahieu. He wasn't available. So it shortens your lineup. So now, you know, with analytics and everything else, you want to split up righties. Gallo ends up being right there in the four hole, which, again, between Judge getting sent and everything else, was a real problem. Because Gallo, I don't know if it's New York, whatever it is, he struggled, to say the very least. And in that game... I mean, and we went over this for, you know, the couple days after the game. Once you got past Stanton, 4 through 9 in your lineup was 1 for 20, and the one hit was an Urshela infield single.
In which he barely made contact on.
Exactly right. And they struck out 8 times.
But how, I mean, listen, Pete Rose, you could say he's a little bit off, and he's a different kind of guy, and he's done things that are certainly, at a minimum, unsavory, possibly illegal. But... to have a guy that is a legendary baseball player viciously attack the Yankees and just go right after Gallo, I mean, you have to take notice, no?
Well, of course you do. But I think that, I mean, what he's saying, too, is also where the game is at, though. Right? Like, I think the problem a lot of people like Pete Rose, a lot of people that call into the show that are, you know, old school baseball fans, they have a real problem with analytics. And the reason why they have a problem with analytics is because of, you know, I grew up, you grew up playing baseball. I mean, you were embarrassed when you struck out. You never wanted to strike out.
Well, like, even if you're just striking out is something that's kind of understood at this point, but not like this.
Not like this. Like, could you imagine getting up to the plate and looking up at your average on the board and it's 202? I'd be embarrassed. Right? And that's not something that it's a big deal right now for the people in analytics. And I think
this is what the guy is.
But here's the thing, though, Dave. I think a guy like Pete Rose, I think a guy like, I mean, you name a guy in the past, like even A-Rod, I think to a certain degree sometimes has a problem with it, is these analytics guys, they've never played the sport. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to marginalize, you know, a guy's experience playing the sport. Like, oh, no, you don't need... Why would you need experience? It's all about numbers. It's all about matchups.
Yeah, but how could you look at these numbers and be okay with them? Rick, can I run through Gallo's numbers with you?
Oh, please do. They're tremendous.
I mean, 2017, plays 145 games, gets 532 at-bats, hits 209.
Yeah, but how many home runs?
41.
What was his on-base percentage?
Not great. 333.
How many walks?
75. How many
OPS?
Strikeouts? 196.
What was his OPS?
869.
Okay. So it's home runs, it's walks.
It's home runs and walks and strikeouts. That's what he is. Next year.
Well, because if you strike out, you can't hit into a double play, which is stupid.
Great.
It's the dumbest
thing ever.
Next year,
he hits 206, strikes out 207 times. His on-base is 312. His OPS is 810.
How many home runs?
40 and 92 RBIs.
There you go. There you go. I mean, he plays a good outfield and hits 40 bombs.
2020, the obviously COVID season, and played 60 games. Hits 181. 181.
It's awful. It's awful. But again, I mean, the only way this changes is that you incentivize guys to actually make contact with the baseball, is what you do. I mean, why do you think Jeff McNeil all of a sudden tried to start hitting home runs? Because that's what they want. That's what you get paid to do. I mean, hopefully, I mean, everything is cyclical, so hopefully it comes back, more around to, guys that make more contact. Because, I mean, that's what baseball needs right now. I mean, it's hurting the game. I don't care what anyone says.
It's terrible. I mean, listen to this now. So he played 57 games last year, right, when there was 60 games. He struck out 79 times.
How many plate appearances? How many at-bats?
Okay. He struck out 79 of 226 plate appearances.
There's three real outcomes. And then, I mean, look at the guy. What's funny is he hits all these home runs in...
You almost shouldn't put fielders out there.
Well, you can count the amount of times that he's had a sack fly on one hand,
which is amazing.
It's still it boggles my mind.
Kay said it. I heard it. Callers called me on Saturday with it, and I still can't believe it. I know it's true, but I still can't believe it. What does he have? Three sack flies in his career?
It's amazing, dude. I mean, this is a guy that hits. I mean, you hit that many home runs, like he puts the ball in the air, and still, there's three outcomes. It's going to be a home run, a strikeout, or a walk, really.
And then this season, 213 strikeouts, hit 199, on base of 351, 38 and 77. Listen, he's got power. I'm not denying that. But I question, is the juice worth the squeeze with this guy?
See, but that's, again, when you looked at that lineup, I have a hard time believing that's an... Like, Aaron Boone can say what he wants to me. Like, yep. You're trying to get the manager's job for the New York Yankees, and you're with Brian Cashman, and they're putting you through hours and hours of all these different, meeting with analytics people, interviews, everything. Like, of course, you're trying to get the job. So if you know something is as important to, Brian Cashman as analytics, of course you're going to, because I'm sure he does to a certain degree believe in the analytics. But having played for as long as he's played, been a part of baseball for as long as he's been, and had a chance every single day to watch Joey Gallo and how he struggled, do you think he felt good about having Joey Gallo? I don't care what the numbers tell you. Joey Gallo batting cleanup?
No.
He couldn't have been.
No, you can't.
Like, at that point, it's like, okay, I understand matchups and swing paths and everything else, but the guy just right now, he stinks.
Right. And remember when they got him? Not only do we have him, but we're now locked in. Like, we now have another year on the deal and our left fielder, and there's no concerns. And I said this before, and I'll say it again. If Joey Gallo is batting seventh or eighth on your team, fine. When you have to put that kind of a bat in the middle of the lineup and really depend on him in a big spot, I don't at all.
But that's essentially what makes it a crapshoot, though. That's what makes postseason, in their minds, a crapshoot. That's what makes sometimes, Brian Cashman's job a little bit more difficult, is that aspect of being a Yankee. Like, how is this guy under this kind of pressure going to perform? And that's a question they have to ask themselves with Joey Gallo. Like, can he handle being a Yankee?
He's never played a big game before.
No, we just got a chance to see what it looks like when he does.
And it doesn't look good. Or it didn't look good. And it's a small sample size. But same situation next year. Will you feel confident with Gallo in a big spot?
No, of course not. Unless all of a sudden, he gets off to a crazy good start. Who knows? But that's something. I mean, that's one of the decisions they're going to have to make.
Yeah, it absolutely
There's
is.
There's a lot of questions that they have to answer this offseason.
And they're going to have to spend money. We discussed it yesterday. No more of this, let's beat the Rays at their own game. Go out there and spend good money after bad.
Yeah, but why? But not even that. Like, why limit your biggest strength, though? Like, that's what I don't understand.
Because I think they look at it as, people look down on us, and there's a lot of, and I'm not saying it's right.
Who cares?
It's
jealousy. They're not looking down. They're jealousy.
No, but I think that there are a lot of people around baseball and say, yeah, anybody can go out there and buy a championship. But to build it like the Rays is different. And I think the Yankees want to be thought of like that. And the truth is, they just can't be.
The Rays do business the way the Rays do business because of necessity. And they're not choosing to do business like that.
I understand that. But you don't think that there's some Yankees front office people that hear the noise of, look at how other teams are able to do it. You can't do it like that. You don't think Cashman has tried to do it like that because of this?
Well, see, that's the feeling you get, is that, I don't know if it's, being in the shadow of his dad, But it does feel like clearly like that he's trying to win a different way than his dad. But at a certain point, I mean, you do have to win. Like Brian Cashman said, this isn't about championship. This is about championships. Well, you can't win championships unless you win the first championship.
That's right. And how about getting to the World Series? They haven't been to the World Series since 2009.
No, I know. But again, I mean, they're also the same team that was able to rebuild on the fly and continue to win.
Which is great. Which you take your hat off, it is very impressive. And 4 or 5 years ago, we were thrilled that the Yankees were able to do that. And Yankees fans were ecstatic, and they should have been. But now, I mean,
that was. But go back to that, though. But do me a favor, go back to that. Right, go back to when it was, you know, the exciting baby bombers, and you know Gary Sanchez bursts onto the scene, and Gleyber Torres bursts onto the scene, and it was all this excitement. Like that's been one of the biggest issues with this team, and I said it yesterday, is the guys that you were relying on to be your kind of like your new core four, have now regressed. Outside of Judge, I mean, Torres is nowhere close to what he was.
Torres is average. Stanton
Sanchez
is probably
has been a guy.
Average.
I mean, he's been a humongous problem.
He's a defensive liability.
But he's never gotten back to that Kraken status that he was at.
Nope.
I mean, in big games, you're starting Kyle Higashioka.
It really is incredible.
Like, let's be honest. If Gary Sanchez is that good, I don't care what Garrett Cole tells me. Like, if
this is your catcher.
Like, hey, Garrett, we appreciate it, but we also, I mean, as good as you are, we do need to score runs, and we have, I mean, one of the best offensive catchers in baseball. Like, we're going to use him. But they feel comfortable because he's not that same guy.
He's not the same guy.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. If you say something like this...
That's a clown question, bro.
Or like this...
My best advice to you?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Those are the ramblings of what we refer to as a knob.
Yeah, let's go testy and then knob.
And these are Knobservations.
Knobservations, brought to you by... Today, no one, sadly.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
You got me all geared up. And I was like, oh, we have another sponsor, and then we have nothing.
If anything else, this is a message out there. This could be your spot.
It's open.
Yep.
Yeah, but honestly, it's open. Here's the thing, though, too. I mean, they blatantly ripped off my wakey wakey eggs and bakey. Like, I don't. They don't
Who
feel
did?
Bad about that.
Who did?
Wendy's.
Oh.
It's a morning show. Like, jump on board. Sponsor something.
You know what?
Welcome aboard.
They have sent us beautiful breakfasts at some point in the past.
You know what? I said to Ange actually yesterday, I would love one of those biscuits they have. I don't know why yesterday I wanted one, but I really did.
Those were
You want
good.
Some homemade biscuits at the dinner?
I'm in.
I make a delicious biscuit.
I love the biscuit.
Wendy's, we're talking to you if you're out there.
Love the biscuit.
I'll incorporate the biscuit then.
I know you're out there. All right. You guys... you may even get to this a little bit later, but I want to whet the appetite here a little bit. I think at this point it's tough to say whether you are or aren't a Robert Saleh guy. He's still figuring out the head coaching thing. We're 5 weeks in, right? I'm generally a fan of him, but I think he tried to help here, and I think things actually got a little worse. He was talking about Zach Wilson, and there was a comparison, which is actually pretty close numbers-wise to Josh Allen through 5 games. And we all know what Josh Allen has become. So he was asked about Wilson's struggles, and here's where he took it.
It's not easy being a rookie quarterback. It never will be. It never has, never will be. If you look at, I'll just throw a guy out there, Josh Allen, who everyone wanted to throw away after his first 2 years. His first 5 games of his rookie year are damn near identical to what our young kid's going through. So he's going to get better. He's got tremendous arm talent. He goes through things the right way. And I know it can be frustrating sometimes. And we're looking at some of these things. It's like, God, he should be making these throws. But it's going to start clicking. Like I said, it's a roller coaster ride. You know, you're going to take the good with the good, the bad with the bad, and find ways to get better, and you will.
Now, the numbers are pretty close. Through 5 games, Allen had 2 touchdowns, 5 picks. He had a lot more rushing yards, but Wilson, 4 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and next to no rushing yards. They were sacked 18 and 19 times through 5 games. But I like Saleh generally, but I don't think he did Wilson any favors. That's a tough comp.
Well, now it's a tough comp. I mean, it's no tougher than what Tony Romo was talking about. He reminds him of Pat Mahomes.
Well, I think that's Rodgers. Worse. That's even worse. But why? The guy is struggling so mightily. Josh Allen is at the top of his game. Why at this moment would you make that comparison?
Because Josh Allen's at the top of his game. And when you watched him in season one, it didn't look good. And he was struggling with the same kind of stuff. The inaccuracy and everything else. Now, they're not the same quarterback.
Do you understand how foolish you look if this kid doesn't turn really good?
I mean, go look at what Josh Allen did in season one. He completed less than 53% of his passes. I mean, that's what he's referring to. I don't think he's comparing, because Zach Wilson is not the same kind of quarterback that Josh Allen is.
He's half the size.
No, all he's saying is that, I mean, as bad as it looks now, he feels confident that it's going to turn itself around.
Listen, I hope it does. I don't want the kid to be
a bust. But there's no track record there. That's why you don't trust it, because there's no track record of the Jets doing it.
Yeah, I'm starting to get a little bit nervous, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's a situation as much as anything. I don't care what people say. I don't care how much talent the quarterback has. It's about the situation that the quarterback gets put into. And sometimes he's at the mercy of, you know, the GM, the coaching staff, the pieces they put around him. They've done everything right with Josh Allen, that team,
to develop him. They really have. A guy that things have not gone right for. Now, they're only in the preseason. But I bring you now to Charlotte and Dallas, a preseason basketball game. And you might wonder, well, why would you bring that up? Well, the Mavericks, they scored 127 points. It's pretty good. The Bobcats, they scored 59 points, which is not so good. That's a loss of 68 points. Now, you might still be saying, well, it's still preseason basketball. Who cares? Generally, I would agree with you. But James Borrego, the head coach of the Bobcats, he was asked about the loss, and this is troubling what happened afterwards, and here's how he answered.
A little bit of both. We couldn't score tonight, dropped our heads defensively. We got a long way to go. Now it starts 0-0. Cleanse it. We move forward. Get ready for a good practice on Friday. We play on Wednesday.
A little bit of both. We couldn't score tonight, dropped our heads defensively. We got a long way to go.
I get to hear myself. Now it starts 0-0. It's great. Great answer. Fantastic. That guy's pretty good. Just let him answer it. That sums it up right there, right? That sums it up right there.
They were feeding his audio back to the Zoom room. So anything that went over the Zoom with the reporters was being fed back to the room immediately afterward.
Who are these Bobcats that you speak of, by the way?
I'm sorry. You're right. That's a mistake by me. Charlotte Bobcats are not a thing.
Oh, I didn't even realize that they're not a thing anymore.
I'm sorry.
They got beat so badly, they reverted back to the Bobcats.
Back to the Bobcats. Old
they
times.
Sent the Bobcats, I'm not sorry. The Hornets.
The Charlotte Hornets. I'm sorry.
So if you
that's bad. I'm sorry.
On Stump Rothenberg, if I would have gotten the question of who is the head coach of the Charlotte Hornets, what's this guy's name?
James Borrego.
Did you know him?
He's been their coach for a few years.
Well, that's news to me.
You better study up, buddy. Stop being so damn lazy.
Lazy, please. Yeah.
Don't call the Hornets the Bobcats either. That's a mistake. Another mistake that was made came from the Rangers yesterday, and there was no glaring mistake. It was just really on the scoreboard, unfortunately. Alex Ovechkin, a game-time decision, goes on to score twice. He's now number 5 all-time in the NHL in scoring 732 career goals.
That's a lot.
So I want to go to our ESPN Network NHL analyst and insider, Mr. Rick DiPietro. What was it that went wrong last night, and was it simply that Wayne Gretzky was not featured more prominently on the coverage?
It was definitely not that Wayne wasn't featured prominently. I mean, I will say, too, the camera behind when Charles was in net, the net cam, that was like probably a little bit too much. Too many breakdowns. I mean, you got guys, the third
I've
guys
never
high
seen
getting caught.
Team that dumb in my life.
And then the other thing, too, is, I mean, you know, going against the Capitals, stay out of the friggin' penalty box. You can't give them power play opportunities. You give up 3 power play goals, plus it ended up being it's the end of your power play, but then a shorthanded goal too. It was not. I mean, that was, if you're a Rangers fan, that was not what you wanted to see.
Terrible.
A game like that.
Can we settle down a little bit? It was one game. They have their home opener tonight, and hopefully it will be remedied at the Garden, and we'll
yeah, but why is Shesterkin not playing that game? Well, you can't
that
play back to backs?
And that's what I wanted to say. You, I mean, he is your franchise goalie, and you're starting Gorgiev in goal? Come on.
It's been a long season so far.
It's a division game, too. The home opener is not that important. Come on, dude.
But
guy,
he can't play,
young
he can't
kid.
Play last night and tonight? How old is he?
They don't believe in back-to-backs now for some reason.
Oh, God.
Rangers home opener tonight, right here, 98.7, 6:30 pregame, puck drop at 7. The Isles are over on 10:50. They're down in Carolina against the Hurricanes. That's also a 7 o'clock puck drop. You guys alluded to this, I believe it was yesterday, Tuesday. J.R. Smith is now a collegiate athlete. He debuted over the weekend for North Carolina A&T on the golf team, and he played solid. He finished his round Tuesday in 7 over 78, which, you know, for a guy that
it's not terrible.
Yeah, just decided he wanted to go play some golf.
I think he finished though 80. I think he was 81st out of 84 golfers. I think
that's not good.
I think that's correct, but he did beat some people, so that's something. But that's not why we bring you to this story. So he is searching for his ball, which has gone waywardly into the woods on the 12th hole. He comes in contact with a nest of bees or hornets, a combination of both, and the 36-year-old freshman, which he is, had to be sadly attended to by the medical staff, but he did go on to finish the round, and yes, I just confirmed it did finish 81st, which is not awesome.
So he was stung numerous times by
these insects? Yeah, he stepped, he needed medical attention. He let the group play through.
Poor guy.
Yeah,
they probably had to rush out Benadryl to him.
It happened to me one time. It wasn't bees. I went looking for my ball and I found it, but not realizing that I was picking it up in poison ivy. And then, of course, I'm in the woods and I'm like, you know, I'll go to the bathroom quick while I'm in the woods.
Oh, and you touched your thing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a treat that keeps giving the next day.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully it wasn't the Charlotte Hornets and not the Charlotte Bobcats. You don't want to run into the Bobcats. All right, we move on. Raymond?
A man's naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
The man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
What an intro that is. It brings us perfectly to today's story. So if you were in an airport recently,
yeah,
maybe Raymond Santiago saw this on his way home. May have been minding your own business. At 5 a.m., maybe this woman is up listening to our show, which we appreciate.
I'm sure she is.
So she's somewhere minding your own business if you're just a patron of the airport, and you just happen to see this woman parade by nude at 5 a.m. at one of the gates. And if that weren't enough, she actually sat down next to passengers, made her way kind of through the the variety of people hanging out, and was caught numerous times asking, "How are you doing? Where are you from?" As if nothing was wrong.
Where did she put her ticket?
That's a great question. How do you get... Because she's through. She's through security. She's at the gates.
Now, did she go through security naked?
No.
Maybe to save time?
No.
Or was she clothed and then she you know... Declothed after she made it through.
That's right. Uh-huh. And so police show up and they whisk her away in a blanket. They throw a blanket over just and take her away as she was maniacally laughing. So I ask you, did this nude woman that potentially was listening to this show at 5 a.m. somewhere, did it happen in Florida?
So you're asking if the incident took place in Florida?
The airport.
Was the flight on the way to Florida? What are you looking for?
I'm looking for the airport. The physical airport. Location of the event in question.
Uh-huh. How you feeling,
Rick? Where did she put the cell phone if she's listening to the app, too? That's another question.
That's a great question.
Technology is a great thing.
She carries it. Well, yeah. She carries it free.
In her
hand?
How
come I never get to see stuff like this at the airport?
Dude, I'm telling you what. I mean, you see some of the videos of what's going on in the city right now?
Yes.
Some of the craziness?
Yes. Boy, I don't really have a great feel for this one.
I'm leaning not. I'm just so you know, I'm leaning not Florida.
I'm leaning not also, and I'm even thinking... Artie didn't say this is a domestic airport, right? This could be international.
Well, I didn't say
What's
anything.
The end game, though, by getting naked? Other than you're going to get arrested.
She's looking for first class.
Yeah, good time.
Right? Like exhibitionist? Like she just likes people seeing her naked, maybe?
Did they determine whether she was inebriated or some kind of drug was ingested?
The term intoxicated was used in the article.
Okay. I'm going to say not Florida.
Yeah, I concur. I'm going not Florida.
All right, Raymond.
This could have been Santiago. You never know.
It wouldn't shock me. Please. He was tweeting from the airport. Great. The airport is much like Jerry's World. Oh, what a place this is.
They had a Cowboys-themed bar with the TV set up like the scoreboard. It was amazing. If drugs had been involved, I probably would have said this was Florida, but I'll say not Florida.
You guys are so good at this.
Yes.
Now, it did happen in this country. It happened.
Oh, really?
Probably not a place I would have thought. Denver. Denver International Airport.
Oh, it's the drugs. It's the marijuana. That's what it is.
You think that's it?
I'm sure of it.
All right. Well, that concludes today's festivities.
You're very good. You really are.
I mean, well done. I called the Hornets the Bobcats, which
great. It added
to
it.
No, but those are fun. And you gave us the name of the coach. What's his name? Jim Borrego?
You could call him Jim. Yeah, James.
James Borrego?
You guys are close. You can call him Jim.
Okay.
He's been the coach there for like 3-4 years.
I don't care if he's been there for 75 years. I didn't know who he was.
He's one of Pop's guys, I think.
You know this. He's a fringe NBA fan.
I don't do anything well. We know this. I don't know much.
Except give birth, apparently. You'd be excellent.
Excellent in childbirth. I'm confident that I would be able to birth the child without much issue, yes.
You have a hockey show. That's something.
Yeah. Hopefully that returns.
The question is now becoming less how does Sherry tolerate you and more how does she not punch you in the face daily?
What the hell is wrong with you? To downplay the
childbirth.
When did I ever downplay it? When did I ever say anything negative?
You said it was 10 minutes of pain at one point.
When did I gave her tremendous credit. I said what she did was incredible and she did it better than I possibly could have dreamed to do it. Did I not say that?
You literally said it was 10 minutes of pain.
Well, because I want to be all drugged up. I want IVs in both arms and I want the good stuff. I'm not going to be one of these doula in a bathtub. I'm not going to be that guy.
I'm actually qualified, too. My certificate does say doula, too, if you need me.
Great. I don't think you could handle delivering a child.
Oh, by the way, how about this? And I know, I apologize, RJ, for this. But so I'm watching Dancing with the Stars. Cass is going to be watching Dancing with the Stars. So Iman Shumpert's on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh.
You realize he delivered both his children?
Yeah,
both.
Yeah, I don't know that I could do that.
Yeah, after the first one, he's like, she started having contractions. We thought we could get through the night, boom.
And they the intent was not, we'll do it at home and just have fun and deliver a child. The intent was we'll get to the hospital. They just couldn't.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So that happened the first time, and then happens again the second time.
Wow. That's just bad luck.
That's crazy.
That's bad luck.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Kiwi. Now, Kiwi, before we start with the whole Giants debate and should Daniel Jones play or not, we had a discussion earlier this morning. Is it Matthias or is it Matthias?
It's Matthias. I go by Matthias or Matthias, depending on how you want to pronounce it, but it's Matthias with a TH.
Okay. Well, then I'm proven right, and I feel good about that. We appreciate the
I accepted it. I told you at the time I accepted it.
Nah, you know what? I didn't feel like you did, and I wanted to get it clarified right away with Matthias Kiwanuka. All right, Matthias, let me ask you this. We just had the conversation. If he's cleared by the medical staff, and you know better than anybody that the Giants medical staff very conservative, do you, in fact, play Daniel Jones this week, or do you sit him out and say, you know what, it was so severe and so alarming that even if he's cleared, I want to give him another week to kind of recoup?
Personally, I would say if he's cleared, you play him. Now, that being said, you also got to take into account that we're not 100% sure what the impact of a concussion is on your body. So if it's a long-term thing for him, if he feels like, even though he's medically cleared, if he feels like it's still fuzzy or hazy, then I would be okay with him saying, no, you know, I'm going to sit this one out, just because he has to think about, you know, his life and not just this season or his career. But if I'm a coach in a position to, you know, to put him out there on the field, yeah, if he's medically cleared and he says he feels good to go, then absolutely, we put him back out there on the field and we give this team a chance.
Yeah, but Matthias, I mean, you've been in these situations, right, with the concussion protocol and everything else. I mean, it's, hey, do you feel, I mean, does the light bother you? Nope. Does the sound bother you? Nope. Do you have a headache? Not really. Let's throw you on the bike. How do you feel? I mean, let's be honest, you can get yourself through concussion protocol even if you don't feel like you're 100%. That's what makes me nervous.
Mm-hmm.
So I just get concerned that I know the kid.
Yeah, I've been there. I've been there, too. I was in Detroit. I took a shot, needed the helmet. I remember sitting on the sidelines, and they're asking me, you know, where we are. I had no idea, you know, but I ended up going back in that game somehow. So and that's what I was saying. I was like, you know, as a coach, I understand. You know, you got to put the players on the field once they're cleared to go. But as a player, that he's got to take it upon himself to say, hey, you know, I'm not okay. I got to think about my future. I got to think about my life, my health, and my safety after I get done playing. Because everybody who plays in the NFL for a significant amount of time has some you know, traumatic brain injuries to some degree. And it's going to affect you in some way, shape, or form. So I don't think it's a healthy thing for him to do, but I understand that, you know, the game is, hey, everybody's got to get out there and everybody's going to play. So I would leave it up to him. If he feels fuzzy at all, no, sit down. Give your brain a rest, because the issue is not just having the brain injury or having the initial concussion. It's having, you know, multiple concussions or traumatic brain injuries after your brain is already bruised. So if he can let his brain rest for a week or two and let it recover, then he'll be in much better shape.
Mathias Kiwanuka with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Mathias, listen, I think that everyone looks at Saquon Barkley as a real talented player. I think it's also fair to say that through 3+ years, he has not maybe lived up to what a lot of people expected him to be. Is this a non-issue in your mind that the Giants will sign him to a long-term deal when his contract eventually does come up and that he's going to be a Giant for a long time?
Is it a non-issue, you're saying?
Yeah, like do you think there's a chance that the Giants could say, we don't want to pay a running back $16 million a year and we think it's better used in another spot and we're not going to pay him for a second contract?
I mean, that's tough because, he's dealt with a lot of injuries, but when you look at what he's brought to this team, I mean, he's one of the hard-fighting guys. You know, he's one of the guys who's out there literally laying it on the line every night. And, you know, depending on what you bring to the team and value in terms of in the locker room, that can sway things one way or the other. You have to look at how much rebuilding this team has to do. You know, you got to look at how many different positions need to be filled and what kind of money that's going to take. So, you know, those decisions have to be looked at from a lot of different ways. I wouldn't say that they're just going to say, oh, it's because he didn't perform enough or he got injured and that's why we can't bring him back. I think it's going to have a lot to do with, you know, the other roles on the team that they have to fill.
Mathias, Dave and I are, and when we go back and forth with this, I mean, Dave is the biggest Giant fan I know and he's frustrated, obviously 1-4, but we assumed coming into the season, you know, you had Adoree Jackson, defense was really good last year, they'll be really good again this year, James Bradbury's going to build off what happened last season. You need to explain to me, because I'm having a hard time dealing with it, what's happened, not only to the defense, but most importantly, what's happened to James Bradbury so far this season?
I think, you know, I've never played on a team where it just looked year after year as though, you know, there was no shot. You know, every time we were out there on the field, I feel like we had a legitimate reason to be out there and to play. And when you're looking at it now, it looks as if there's some defeat as a group, not in each individual. So I'm not putting this all on Bradbury, but like as a group, they just seem deflated. They seem like easily taken out of the game. You know, a couple things don't go their way, and then you see guys not running to the ball as hard. You know, you see, you know, there's some, you know, like a sense of like apathy on the sidelines. Like it's just not as intense as it should be. I think that kind of mentality breeds, you know, bad play and bad ball, and it's being allowed to be out there on the field. You know, you gotta get that mentality back. You gotta get you know, some pride about yourselves to be able to go out there. So I think it's a personal pride thing at this point.
Well, hopefully it turns around a little bit this week. Mathias, continued success. We know that you're on New York Game Day with Anita Marks and Mike Tenenbaum, 8 to 11 every Sunday morning right here on 98.7 ESPN. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. You're very welcome. That, Rick, is Mathias Kiwanuka.
Mathias with the maybe the biggest indictment of your New York Giants so far this season.
Yeah, not good. Personal pride? Yeah.
Apathy on the sidelines?
Yeah, not good. How is that possible that the first couple of games you have apathy on the sideline? Like, he wasn't good in game one.
No, he wasn't, and he hasn't been. Maybe it's just the realization that we're not as good as, you know, you get that slap in the face that, I mean, we thought we would be better, but we're not.
But
we're
I
not
don't
as,
understand
nearly as good
how,
as we thought we'd be.
Maybe not. Clearly not, right? They thought they were going to be really good. They're not really good. But how is Patrick Graham so good in year one and not in year two? How is Bradbury so good in year one and not in year two? How do you have what should be a better secondary, yet it's playing worse? I just, it doesn't add up for me.
No, it doesn't. I mean, that's really, I mean, that's the most surprising thing we've seen so far from this team is the defense. Especially James Bradbury.
Yeah. Like, I thought he was an all-pro level corner last year.
Oh, wasn't he second team all-pro last year?
Yeah, I mean, he was at that level, and he's not good this year.
No, he hasn't been good. And I don't know if it's the scheme. I don't know if it's you're just not putting enough pressure on the quarterback, whatever it ends up being. It's just they couldn't stop the run last week. They got gashed. So maybe guys just look around. That happens sometimes. You know, I'm not usually this early on in the season, but maybe it's just more of the same.
How could you be apathetic in week one, though?
No, I'm not saying apathetic, but there are times, like, you'll look around a locker room. Like, you go through preseason, you got, like, you know, reporters asking you, what do you think? Oh, there's a great group of guys. We got, you know, we got plenty of talent. We could be a playoff team. And
right.
Then you go through training camp, a couple preseason games, and you're like, whew, was I wrong?
This is
we
not
stink.
Who we thought we were going to be. By the way,
yeah,
I
like,
probably
you know
shouldn't
when you
bring
got
this
guys.
Up on air. I probably should not. But RJ told me what happened with Kiwanuka there. Santiago hung up on him.
Stop yourself.
Yeah. He hung right
you're,
up on
you're
him.
A dirty, dirty liar.
How much? No.
That's not true. It's not
no,
true.
It is true.
It's not true.
He's taken the Cowboys Giants thing so personally now that he didn't even want Kiwi on the air with
you're,
us.
You are telling vile and disgusting
no.
lies.
I didn't
realize this thing would affect you so badly.
He's deflecting is what he's doing.
I'm not.
I mean,
deflecting.
You had a former Giant just say that the Giants have quit essentially.
Well, yeah, because I need him to tell me that. Look at them. Look at what's happening. They're a lost.
No, there's
cause.
A big difference. There's a big difference between being bad and quitting. That's also an indictment of your head coach.
Well, that's the bigger problem here. If they're, in fact, quitting, I mean, couldn't you see the Giants winning 3 games this year?
Yeah.
So answer this to me. How do you bring back Joe Judge if you go 3-14?
I don't think you can, but the only reason that you would is because at some point you have to have some semblance of stability.
I get it. But if you expect to win 9 games and compete for the division and you win 3, I'm not saying win 6. I'm saying win 3. How could you bring him back next season?
Well, I think you have to ask yourself the question, what's most important to you? Because Dave Gettleman won't be back, right? So you got to prioritize yourself. Like, is there a GM out there that I want so bad that I would say, okay, we're willing to move off of Joe Judge to get the GM? Or do you really believe in Joe Judge and you'll have him help you find the next GM?
That's what they're going to have to answer. Knowing the Giants, they're going to keep Joe Judge, even if it spirals out of control.
See, I'm not so sure about that, man. If the locker room quits on him, I mean, you got a defense. You just paid Leonard Williams. You just brought in Adoree Jackson. You know, guys like that all of a sudden look like they quit on the coach. I mean, I'd be hard-pressed to think that you're going to deal with, like, how do you get that? You don't get that back. This isn't like college where all of a sudden, you know, guys, you're bringing in a bunch of new freshmen. Once a team quits on the coach, that's not.
Well, we'll see.
You don't just
we'll
get that
they
back
do against the Rams. I mean, it doesn't get easier. You got Rams, you got Chiefs, you got Panthers, you got Raiders. None of these are easy games. You got at Tampa on a Monday night.
No, and you're ravaged by injury right now.
Ravaged.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.